Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning. This is Melissa Enoch DeBerry with Talk with Trinity, a show that is dedicated to the education, enrichment, and enlightenment of all people. I am Melissa. I'm a licensed clinical addiction specialist. I'm a licensed professional counselor associate, child of God. I'm glad to be here this morning. The show is sponsored by Trinity Counseling Services, 1801 North Tryon Street, Suite 311B, Charlotte, North Carolina, 28206, and 508 Holly Hill Lane, Suite 102E, Burlington, North Carolina, 27215. The phone numbers we can be reached is 704-333-2446 or 336-675-0075. You can also email us at melissatrinitycounseling@gmail.com. You can find us on the web at trinitycounselingcharlotte.com. Also, give us a review. You can Yelp us. Find me on LinkedIn, Facebook page, Instagram. It's all I can think of. Heavenly Father, we just come to you right now. Just wanting to say thank you. Just want to say thank you for allowing us to wait this morning. Thank you for allowing us to have another show. Thank you for allowing all persons who are listening. Thank you for all the ones who are not. Thank you, God, for safe travels. And, Heavenly Father, as we go forward, continue to bestow your wisdom, your knowledge, and your instruction upon us. In Jesus' name we pray. July is a month where we celebrate Independence Day. That's pretty much it. I'm sure that it is other months that is dedicated. If you Google the month or national observances or anything like that, you can pretty much find that there is a topic for every month, several topics for a month. And depending on what your interests are, if you continue forward and find the different organizations that may be represented by that month, then you find out that there are a lot of activities that go on. Most people know, like, October is domestic violence. As a counselor, I know September is National Recovery Month. April is Alcohol Awareness Month. May is Mental Health Month. So you tend to know what's represented. The media does a pretty good job of highlighting some of the major ones, but if there are some of those that are missing, you can always just kind of type those into the internet or look in the Yellow Pages, go back old school, and find maybe an organization that may be familiar with it. But I say that because July is not a month. We usually don't do any groups, workshops, or anything to that effect. So July for Talk with Trinity is miscellaneous month. So it means that we can have topics from any direction. And we could talk about what's going on in the media. Alton Sterling, Baton Rouge, Louisiana, and all the things that we're seeing going on with that. And we could, you know, even deal with police violence, that the latest number of individuals who died at the hands of officers this year, the month of July, totals up to almost 700 people in one way or the other. We can go the way of Facebook and see what some of the different media outlets, you know, are taking with this most recent situation, similar to Orlando, except for this one, we're not coloring our Facebook pages with, you know, say the flags or, you know, whatever, like what happened in France. I mean, it's way, way too much that's going on. So as we delve into a topic, I know if you look at some Talk with Trinity's site on Blog Talk Radio, it's found blogtalkradio.com/TrinityMe. Which I guess probably that's why people don't find you, because the name of my username, not the same name of the program. That's my fault. I'm pretty self-reliant when it comes to media and marketing, which is what you use media for, or you should, promotion, if you will. And so I don't do a really good job of promoting my causes, and I do put plural on that because I have a lot. If you listen to any program prior to today, you know that I've been in the field of drugs and alcohol for about 22 years. You also know that there are some days when I probably seem more calmer than other ones, and it's because of my takeoff. If there's no turbulence when I leave the house, then I do good. If there's turbulence, then I don't do so well. And you really have to make a concerted effort to lessen the amount of turbulence in your life, specifically when you know that your atmosphere and your demeanor and your personality is affected by it. I encounter a lot of people in the course of a day, a week, a month, by phone and in person, and just along the way. And so I pick up certain things from them, and then I give off certain things also. So I've been trying to make a conscious effort to consider that. I read a lot. One of the last things I listened to is Power of Intention, or the Law of Attraction. As a Christian, you would say, well, what are you doing with this New Age madness? But it's kind of, there's really no excuse. It takes the words of faith and puts it into a more applicable situation where I can understand it, where I know that it is you're speaking faith. Because now faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. So the law of attraction is, if you know that God will take care of you, and if you know that he will provide for you, and if you know that, then you don't live according to lack. You live according to having. Whether you see it in your hands materially or not, it manifests itself physically. And then you're saying, oh, okay, I had no idea that this is how it was going to all turn out. Like I said, any amount of time listening to this program, you know that I started my business basically the same principle. I don't know if it was out of lack or not. I just know that when I entered into the field of drugs and alcohol, I don't really think that I thought 22 years later I would still be in the field. I don't remember sitting down and planning out my life that far. I just remember getting into college, completing college, and then making a decision about what do I want to do next. Yes, I bring that up because I've encountered an individual that's going through a similar growing pain, and it's a struggle, and is a motivation type of a situation. My motivation was I would not, like, I look frowned upon where I was from. I still am hesitant when people ask where I live about saying out loud the neighborhood is the town where I live. I don't have any appreciation for where I grew up. And the fact that I don't have any appreciation for the fact where I grew up is probably the reason why where I grew up doesn't have an appreciation for me. And that's just a real statement, and that's just a reflection that I'm sharing for the first time out loud. And he said, well, what is the point? Well, when I work with individuals and we discuss what motivations are, what and the reasons for making the decisions and espousing motivational interviewing and stages of change and the Jelinek model of addiction and cognitive behavioral therapy and all of those things wrapped up, as a counselor, sort of have a pretty good handle on that. And every time that I think that I got a pretty good handle on it, it expands. And I say, okay, why is it expanding, and what am I doing with it? And what has happened is that it's caused me to reflect on some of my own decisions and how I came to my enlightenment and how to be able to help others come to theirs. And one of the first things, I always go back in an assignment, if you will, to, it's called a timeline, and it borrows from Freud and Freud's workings of the effect that the childhood has on a person's overall life. Freud even went so far as to say that there, he called it out initially and said that there was a jealousy that happens between a father and a son for the affection of the mother, and from a mother and a daughter for the affection of the father. And this jealousy plays out in a lot of ways. Freud also went so far as to say that if a child, say, sucks their thumb, then that'll be an oral fixation. And so when it translates to a later time in their life, they'll be orally, and it could be productive. They could be motivational speakers, or they could be something else. And if a child is chastised going to the bathroom, which makes them more anal, then that'll play out later in life where the individual will be either real organized, if you will, or they'll be over the top organized and maybe enter into some of the detrimental obsessions. Then there's another stage where it's called the phallic, and then there'll be, that has a whole nother connotation, but when it translates to a later time in life, then the child will hold on to things. And so that can either be they'll hold on to it and be good historians, or they'll hold on to it and not be able to let things go and be hoarders. And that would be how that would manifest. And so I borrowed from Freud in the regards of bringing people back to the beginning, seeing what their fixations are, seeing where their mistakes, and I add to that Erikson, which once they decide where they are, Erikson says that there are stages you've got to pass through. Five of them that you pass through by the time that you're age of six, and either you come through them successfully or unsuccessfully, and if you go through them unsuccessfully, then those will translate later in life to areas that'll be of detriment. And so once they figure that out and then see what the pattern of behavior is, and then they'll be able to straighten that out or clean that up or get rid of it, and then be able to move on into a better, more healthier way of life. And then I even go so far as to create a key for all of it. And with this key for all of it, I just do an easy A to Z. And I say A could be anger, adoration, annoying. And it goes on from there. B, you know, can be boldness. And once they have identified all of those different issues, and they didn't go as far as completely doing A to Z or starting at least the process, and then working those out, the ones that are easier to figure out and the ones that are harder, taking a little more time. And then you add on top of that, it says in with addictions, 1 month for every year that you've used. So if you have an individual that began to drink when they were 16 and they're 46, that's 30 years, that's 30 months before they can come back to zero. So that's 30 months of working on themselves in order to straighten out their lives. And I let them know that up front, and I tell them where that number comes from, so that it's almost like when you have someone who's a project manager, and if they know that they're going to be on this project 30 years or 30 months, they're going to be on this. They know they're going to be on a project for 30 months. Then they're able to plan accordingly. That means that you got to finances, you got to rationalize those or ration out those for 30 months, resources for 30 months of time. People around you to know how long you're going to be on this project, because it doesn't just start overnight and it won't finish overnight. And so, you know, just letting people know, and then they can plan accordingly, and either, and then let them know that the finished project, that they want it to be a sturdy, long-lasting project, like a, you know, a home that's built on some solid soil, or do they want, do they mind picking up and having to leave it because it, the foundation wasn't stable when they set it down. And those are the analogies that I make. And with that, with the creation of the key, I borrowed from working with individuals in construction, which is very interesting that I have a good group of people around me in construction. And what I learned from them is you've got, and what I've learned from my own reading is you've got, you got the ones that go in and they clear off the land. So you got your tree people, and they're knowledgeable about trees, how far the roots go down. Once they cut the trees, what we can do with the trees, can the trees be utilized? So when you get rid of some stuff in your life, it doesn't all have to go to junk. Some of it can be recycled or reused. And so you got people that are knowledgeable of that. And then you got the ones, the heavy equipment operators, and their job is just that, to operate the heavy equipment. So all they need to know, but they also have to know how not to hit power lines. And the project manager helps them out by saying, okay, well, let's find out where these lines are so that we don't run into them because it's got greater problems. All right, bring that whole backhoe in there, dig that out, and get all of the stumps out, get all the roots out. And anytime you go by a project, I mean, you can see building all the time. In the very beginning, they, you know, they have a plan, and that plan is, you know, they got the blueprint. And so for most people, the blueprint that I'm offering them is the timeline and the foundation of it. And then you take it, and you work it, and you just build a house. You build yourself. And, you know, but if your talent is building homes, then you, not only do you build your own and make it sturdy, but you also build others and make them sturdy and help, and then just create, recreating the blueprint. And then there's value in that. And so, of course, this week has been quite a challenge because each blueprint or each individual that I've encountered this week, there's been a sense of tragedy that they've shared out loud. And what has happened is with that tragedy, I teeter between feeling like I can take it all on or realizing that I cannot, that I need assistance. And then I've got to strengthen my connections with individuals in the community that are fully capable of dealing with those issues, where a person will be comfortable with working with them. And I don't want to go outside of where I'm comfortable, not even comfortable, but where I'm capable, and moving on from there. Alcohol and drugs, no problem. Mental health and motivation, no problem. Even stages of change, no problem. But things like sexual abuse and identity and grief and loss, problems, alerts. Because I have my own thoughts and feelings about them, I don't want to be like this judge who told the victim to keep her legs closed. I don't. I'm going to venture to say that he's perhaps had that issue or has perpetrated that issue and was yet a judge and got by. And so that's how he feels about it, one or the other. And so just want to make sure that I'm fully capable of working with a person with those issues and moving on from there. And so in order to help a person, I give them the assignment of the timeline and tell them, let's move on from there to see what can we take care of quickly. That's brief counseling. Can we do it in 6 sessions or less? And if not, then there are some areas that we're going to need to address more fully. And so that's where I am with all of that. And that's where my hesitation is coming in, because I'm rethinking, what am I doing as a counselor trying to help people when I fully believe that people have to help themselves? And the only way that they got able to help themselves is to say that they need this help. And if individuals are spending a lot of time believing that they are all good, they're all positive, there's nothing wrong, their life is what it is, then they're not going to be able to be reached. And that's what's happening, I believe, with every incident that I read on the news. I see it's happening, like my guy in Orlando. We don't hear anything else about him, but his issues with his father, his gay lover came on the news and said he was mad at me about possibly giving him HIV, and no sooner he did that, no more Orlando in the media. We're not even going to go there. He said it was ISIS. He said it was ISIS. He said it was ISIS because he saved his face before he died, instead of saying that I went out here, had an adulterous affair with a man of whom I'm attracted to, and I'm a Muslim, and I was angered, and I wanted to just annihilate all of them because they shouldn't be out here just spreading their disease. I don't believe in suicide, but he took out all these other people and maimed and injured all these other people, affected all these other lives for an issue that was within him. And the same thing with the police violence, same thing with individuals who drink. Some of their issue is with themselves that was perpetuated by their involvement in other areas. With drugs and alcohol, okay, it may be genetic, but if your parent didn't pour it down your throat, that means you made a conscious choice. And once you made a choice to do that, then there's a consequence of that. If you said that you did it because you were trying to cope with the fact that whatever one of your A to Z's are, instability, pain, grief, then that's where you got to say out loud, I need to talk to somebody about it. Instead of drinking it away, hitting and killing a family, shooting up a club, or shooting a man down on the ground. I mean, if someone bullied you, say you were bullied, and let's deal with the bullying and how you felt about it. If someone hurt you, then let's deal with the hurt and pain that's inside of you, and not hurt other people because you are hurting inside. And then you got all of us out here in an uproar in the media, taking sides, polling us on one side or the other, people seeking out, all this other stuff, when the real truth of the matter is everything lies within you. And then it goes back to scripturally when Paul says, listen, well, he didn't, probably, he did say, listen, God, look, I got this issue. I can't. I'm a killer of Christians, and now I'm saved. And then you're telling me you want me to go out here and pass your message. And I'm very unsure, uncertain of myself to do so. God says, no problem. I appreciate you confessing that to me, because you confess with your mouth, believe in your heart that you're saved. I'm glad that you did that. But now, I'm going to help you live with that. I'm going to help you live with that death of those individuals that you killed. I'm going to help you. I'm going to assist you. I'm going to, when those things well up inside, when the enemy brings those to your attention, you're going to A to Z it. You're going to speak it out about how you think or feel about it, and I'm going to help you to live. Because at the end of it all, yes, you did do that, but you have a job to do, and that is to tell people how good I am, how good I've been, and how I brought you through all of that. I brought you through bullying, how I brought you through being faced with the diagnosis of HIV, being brought, you know, that's suicide is unforgivable because you're not allowed an opportunity to tell how you got over. If you just take yourself out. And so that's kind of where we are with our miscellaneous discussion. Because, you know, and I, as I shared with an individual, if we run out of A to Z, we can do like when they restart some letters and numbers. We can go A, A, B, B, Z, C, C, D, D, until we get it all together. And it goes back to, we're grading the land, we're removing it of all of the pebbles, and we're patting it down and making it a solid foundation. When we pour the floor of this house, in 5 years, 10 years, it won't sink because the ground sank, because there were some stones underneath the ground. I'm so glad that I didn't listen to those individuals when I was in I was in college, and I came home, and I got a job, worked at an agency as working in a warehouse. And my job was, forgot what it was, but all I remember is they wanted me to do an inventory of some components. And there were several big blue bins with all these components. And me being who I am, I said, well, all right, I'll take the job one. Pretty quick at what I do. So I dump all the stuff out, and I sort it out, and I organize it, and sift through it, and, you know, put things in piles. Maybe this goes here, maybe this goes here, but it doesn't belong here. Count it, put it all back. And my supervisor came and said, but Melissa, you still in this one section? I'm like, yes. What am I doing wrong? He says, well, for one, you take it too long. For two, is you're doing a good job, but just take one part out, put it on the scale, and then weigh the bin. So my question to him is, what if there were things that were broken, and what if things that didn't belong in there? Should I not things back where it belongs? He's like, no, that's not what we're really concerned about. I said, well, that's not a very good inventory in my mind. And so I proceeded, needless to say, they put me in quality control and then asked for me to come back. But I've taken that whole thought and theory, and I've applied it to helping individuals, and I pray that it works, because I pray that we all want to live a life that is abundant, that is full, and that is lasting. And in the last 96 seconds, I hope that this has been helpful. Just this random conversation. Welcome to email me, Melissa Trinity Counseling at gmail.com. Be interested in your reviews. And dear Heavenly Father, we just want to thank you. Just thank you for the opportunity to continue to be enlightened. Thank you for the opportunity to continue to realize that there is value in your word. And dear Heavenly Father, as we go forward, continue to provide us with the education that we need in order to be a better people. And I just pray as we go forward in our day that you continue to bless us and keep us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.